This episode of Game On is brought to you by Ford, featuring Curve Control to help protect against crashes on curves. Look for Curve Control available on the 2013 Ford Taurus, and you can learn more at Ford.com/cars/Taurus.
This episode of Game On is brought to you by Audible.com. To download a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/gameon.
It's Sunday, March 25th, and after I die, I hope people bitch about my ending until someone changes it. Brian and Veronica claw each other's throats out over BioWare alleged Mass Effect 3 ending change in the Flame War. New challenger Anthony Carboni sneaks in and helps us review Ninja Gaiden. Real-life video game prop maker Bill Doran shows us weapons from games like Skyrim, Dragon Age, and Mass Effect that he's brought into the realm of men. One time I bought a Grand Theft Auto prop at a pawn shop and brought it to the office. Who wants to force me into working weekends now? It's time for Game On!
You have no chance to survive. Make your time because we are on for Game On. I'm Brian Brushwood.
And I'm Veronica Belmont.
Oh my goodness, you have no idea how stoked I am to have Bill Doran on the show.
I know, dude, he's the best.
Not only is his props the best, but he's the best. Do you remember that we actually met him at Dragon Con, where you and I were both in the same room with him before we even talked about having him on the show? Do we actually have footage of that, Chad?
If this is an offense, because he doesn't actually even want Shell. He wants just Wheatley. So yeah, Shell has to hold Wheatley, but that's how it's going to be.
Shell and Wheatley, yes.
Veronica, do you want
Wheatley looks awesome.
No.
She made that. That wasn't Bill's work.
Because I was going to pick Hawk from Dragon Age.
Aha!
There I am, picking him. So. I pick him good.
Look how good his outfit is.
Oh, they're married!
So they're married, and so...
That mental image real quick.
That's what we do. We tear relationships apart. Right,
dude, that was so much fun, dude. We had a face-off, what do we call it, cosplay Thunderdome for Dragon Con.
And unfortunately, Hawk, my choice, did not win that evening.
Neither did his wife, Shell.
Neither did his wife, Shell.
And yet he was kind enough to come here anyway.
What was the winner? It was the guy with the
tongue. It was my guy. It was Red
Skeleton.
We called him Red Skeleton.
It was horrifying.
All right, no. Look, here's the thing, guys. Just a reminder, we record live every Sunday night here at 9 p.m. Eastern at live.twit.tv, and be sure to tweet out reactions live to what's going on at Twit Game On. Should you fail in this mission, our producer OMG Chad will not regale you with all the funniest and most insightful tweets at the end of the show. If he doesn't regale you, then you'll be sad. If you're sad, you'll forget to go to work and be homeless, so don't be homeless. Tweet us at Twit Game On.
Yes, and remember, after we're done with this dog and pony show, our LAN party Shut Up and Play begins. That's where the cast and crew of Game On plays against anyone who wants to join in. Tonight, it is Team Fortress 2.
But now, because you were too busy buying oven mitts so you could hold your new iPad, here's a week's worth of news stories in the system update. Remember last week when we had those OMG Pop guys from the mobile app draw something on? Well, they had a pretty busy week. First came news they were drawing more Facebook logins than Time Waster Words with Friends owned by the gaming giant Zynga. So what does Zynga do? Well, if you can't beat them, draw them a big fat $200 million check, enough to bring the entire OMG Pop team into the fold. What does this mean for the players? Well, the next major update should include in-game chat.
Did you think that Prey 2 was going to be the game of your dreams? Well, too bad, kid. Dreams are lies we tell ourselves to forget we're all dying. Prey 2 is cancelled. Or at least, those are the rumors coming from the Dutch site PS Focus. Announced a year ago, the game would allegedly have followed U.S. Marshal Killian Samuels, who crashes onto the sphere before becoming a bounty hunter. Now, the game will allegedly follow no one, because there is no game. Stop crying. Reports say an official announcement from Bethesda is coming early this week.
Video games are officially the biggest entertainment sector in Britain. A new report by the Entertainment Retailers Association says that gaming surpassed other entertainment sales, including DVDs and music sales. In American terms, video games yoinked over $3 billion from the pockets of eager consumers, no doubt on their way to sweep a chimney or wizard something. I don't know. DVDs accounted for $2.8 billion and music a comparatively paltry $1.6 billion. This continues a positive trend for gaming, which first took the top spot in 2011.
Really pumped for the multiplayer in the new Max Payne 3? Well, good news for you, Buckaroo. If you also like the idea of playing the new Grand Theft Auto, you'll be able to bring your particular gang of ne'er-do-wells to the new GTA via Rockstar Social Club. Joystick Quotes Rockstar co-founder Dan Houser is saying, multiplayer is an ever more important part of all our games moving forward. No word yet if this would extend to any other Rockstar franchises like Red Dead Redemption.
Another week, another Mass Effect 3 story. This time it's news from the top. BioWare co-founder Dr. Ray Muzyka wrote an open letter on the BioWare blog addressing the controversy over what many fans believe is a lackluster ending to the epic space trilogy. What are they going to do about it? He says the ME3 team is hard at work on, quote, a number of game content initiatives, unquote, that hope to provide more closure to anxious players worldwide. He added that while it's been painful to read all the hate online, he's had to balance his respect to the fans with the artistic integrity of the team's choices.
Now, this is normally the part of the show where me and Brian talk about one of the stories a little more in depth. But as it happens, we so violently disagree about the Mass Effect 3 ending issue that we're sending this one directly into the Flame War.
For the record, we have never had an issue that we were so polar opposite on.
We got into a fight, like a real fight.
I believe the phrase was spoken, I've lost respect for you based on this opinion.
I may have said that.
So, to be clear, like, I kept thinking maybe we just weren't understanding where the other one's coming, but we understand perfectly. We're just on different sides.
Yeah.
So, I guess we did a straw poll before we began the show. Can we take a look at those results, Chad? Two-thirds of the people agree with you that the idea of BioWare changing the Mass Effect 3 ending in response to the outcry about it being, some people say it was terrible or lame or whatever, is a bad decision. And I think what you had said is that it's a dangerous precedent, right? You want to elaborate on that?
Yeah, first of all, as we said, BioWare has not said anything yet about actually changing the ending. What they said is that they're working on a number of game content initiatives. So if they want to make some DLC that helps explain the ending to people out there who are confused about what's going on, fine by me. Go for it. Absolutely. I totally get that. But if they actually change the ending or make a DLC where the ending is different, I will be very upset. I think that changing the ending, it sets a really terrible precedent for content creators. We've seen it time and time again. People get upset about endings all the time, but that is the artistic vision of the creator, of the person who is putting this out into the world. They lose the ability to take risks and maintain their integrity if they're just changing it based on lip service to the people they're selling to. I understand. People love a game. They love the story that they've been, you know, brought into for years and years. I mean, we've been with this series for a very, very long time. But the fact of the matter is that there was an existing vision in place when they made this game, and this is how they see the ending of that vision. And also, there's people out there who like their endings just fine. There are people out there who bought the game and got to the ending and said, okay, this feels okay to me. Is that fair to the people who enjoyed that ending to go around and just absolutely change it just because of other fans? And, you know, I see games as work of art. I see them as something that an artist is putting out into the world. Sometimes we like them, sometimes we hate them. You know, it all depends on personal taste. But at the end of the day, it's the vision of the content creators. I want to respect that. If there's something fundamentally broken that needs to be patched and fixed, then fine. I don't think that this is broken, though. I don't think it's something that needs to be fixed.
Okay, so first of all, a couple of things. Understand that video games are not movies. If we're talking about movies and you change a movie, you are taking something away from the people who had one ending that they really liked, and now there's a different ending for everyone. You even used your own phrasing. Their ending was fine for them. Video games are fundamentally different. We mod our video games. We think it's great. We play them separately. We decide our own endings for these games. And if BioWare realizes that they failed to give a satisfying ending to 60% of the people who bought their game, how is it a bad thing for them to say, you know what, we have underserved our market and now we're going to offer more? If some third-party developer offered a hack that fixed the ending of BioWare's Mass Effect 3, everyone would be, hooray, they fixed the ending, so much better now. But because it's BioWare, all of a sudden we decide, oh, you're cratering, you're pandering to the masses or whatever. And understand also, I understand your concerns about this being a dangerous precedent, but this is not a referendum on games for all time. The question is it bad for BioWare to make this decision? And to me, they got two choices. Either they could be a jerk like George Lucas and spend the rest of their days shouting that Jar Jar is awesome and Han shot second, or they can listen to their fans, which is something that BioWare has always been amazing with, and this is just them handling it in their way, and I think they're going to do a great job that'll do nothing but give more choice and make more people happy.
I understand the position you're coming from in terms of modding, in terms of changing, of altering. But I think at the end of the day, I think that there is a narrative that was built into this game. Then the narratives branched, maybe not as much as people would have liked them to branch. But this is a story. This is a story. I think it's just as much of a story as any film or book series or TV series out there. And I think that it is that we should respect the rights of the content creators. You even said yourself, it's 100% BioWare's game. They can do with it whatever they want.
Yes.
And because it is 100% their game, they can keep it the way it is.
See, and I take it the other way. It's 100% their game, so they can change the hell out of it if they want. It's not for us to decide. All right, we'll kick it over to you guys. We want to hear whether or not you guys agree or disagree with either one of us, so head on over to strawpoll.me/476. That's strawpoll.me/476. We'll check in at the end of the show. But first, we have to have a quick word from our sponsor. This episode of Game On is brought to you by Ford, featuring Curve Control. Curve Control is part of a whole suite of safety technologies on the 2013 Ford Taurus. It helps drivers maintain control of their vehicle when they're taking a curve too quickly. Here's how it works. Curve Control is always looking for potential problems by measuring how quickly the vehicle's turning versus how quickly you're trying to turn it. It pays attention to the roll rate, yaw rate, lateral acceleration, wheel speed, a steering angle, all this stuff I don't even understand. The point is it runs 100 calculations every second. When it finds a problem, it'll rapidly reduce engine torque, it'll apply four-wheel braking, it'll slow the vehicle up to 10 miles an hour in 1 second, and it works on dry or wet pavement. Curve Control helps protect you while driving on curves, and it's one of several new driver assist technologies available on the 2013 Ford Taurus. You can find out more at ford.com/cars/Taurus.
All right, so I have to say that that debate could have gone on much longer. We've covered Mass Effect so many times on this show. I think we kind of need to rein it in a little bit, but I'm very excited to see what people in the audience think about that discussion and see which way that goes at the end of the episode. But Anthony Carboni, host of New Challenger over on Revision 3, welcome. You were joining us this evening. Hello. I'm curious to know what you think about this whole ending debacle.
Oh, man. I'm torn on it because I do kind of more fall on your side because I feel like nobody sits down to make a terrible ending, right? It's not like the writers sat down and they were like, how can we just really screw up this thing that we love and we've been working on forever? You know, nobody sets out to do that. They made the ending that they felt like fit the story the most. And I do think you're right. Like, you have to kind of like, you don't always like the ending of a movie. You don't always like the ending of a book, but that's the way they intended it to be. But on the same side, I can kind of see where people are coming from, where it's like, well, the entire game was about choice, and then there was no choice in the ending. What is that about?
Right. No, I agree with you on that front, on the choice issue. But we've talked that to death. You guys had a great skit, by the way, that we mentioned on last week's show about the self-help club for people who don't like endings for things.
Yeah, for fans of just like sci-fi and genre fiction. I feel like, you know, When I heard this Mass Effect thing, it just sounded so familiar to me as somebody who was like a Battlestar fan and as somebody who knew
Lost.
A lot of Lost fans, for sure, you know?
But we brought you on the show today to talk about a different video game, and that is Ninja Gaiden 3. So you've spent some time with the game this past week. Give me your impressions.
Yep. Oh, man. This is a weird, weird game. This is a weird game. They've completely sort of gone away from the direction they were going in the other two Ninja Gaiden games in terms of just story and gameplay. They've completely switched it up. I think they were trying to respond to a lot of the criticisms from people saying that it was just too hard and inaccessible. And they kind of did too much of a 180 and kind of made the game a little flat and monotonous and kind of the same as everything else.
Can you tell me a little bit about the plot? I know it starts with, if there is a plot.
This plot is so insane. Okay, at various times in this plot, you are going to be part of an anti-terrorist UN organization that recruits ninjas. You're going to fight a dinosaur that magically turns into metal. You're going to go into virtual reality and fight snake monsters that follow you out of virtual reality after you're done.
Yeah, of course.
It doesn't make a whole lot of sense at all. But the main crux of the story is they're trying to humanize Hayabusa. They're trying to kind of show him as a dude with a conscience and that all of his things are kind of catching up to him, which is interesting if I had been at all interested in Hayabusa. You know, like he's just been this like killing machine for the last 20 years. And now they're like, oh, but, you know, maybe he has feelings and he's really worried about things. And I'm just like, I don't care about that.
Well, the feelings is something that definitely came up because there is a very emotionally charged scene, without trying to give too much away, where you have the option or you seem to have the option to spare someone's life who is begging for it. And
right.
You do not go through with that. And then how does that kind of change the emotional feeling of the game? Does that make him seem more humanized? Does that make him seem like more of a cold-blooded killer? And how does that resolve?
It's weird because initially you're a little emotionally affected by it. But that's really the only event that has that sort of charge in the entire game. It feels like it was thrown in there to kind of get you invested, and then they don't give you anything else like that again. And when you kind of play for a few more hours, you realize that what you got was essentially another QuickTime event, because this game loves QuickTime events.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing I wanted to talk about, actually, were the QuickTime events and some of the gameplay mechanics. But if you weren't done with your thought, I didn't want to interrupt you there.
No, not at all. We can definitely talk about that. Unfortunately, I mean, there's really not much to talk about in terms of emotional investment or story, because as much as they added tons of cutscenes, they don't really amount to much.
Okay. So there are a number of QuickTime events in this game, and how does the gameplay feel? Like, is it satisfying? Is everyone ready to drink? Is it visceral?
Visceral. Huh?
I try to get that into every review I do, so I just wanted to make sure it made its way into this one. Yes, drink. How did the gameplay feel? I mean, was there anything satisfying about that? Do you get, like, cool ninja combos as you're fighting? Like, what's the story?
So it's weird. You know, the past entries into the series were really devoted to precision and timing and really learning how to control the combat. And, you know, every time you killed somebody in the last couple Ninja Gaiden games, you were like, whew, I can't believe I did that. I barely got out alive, you know? In this, they've kind of removed all of that, and it becomes very much more... feels a lot more like a God of War or a Bayonetta or a Devil May Cry.
Well, those are all good games, though.
They're great, and there's really nothing wrong with those games, except that Ninja Gaiden had always set itself apart as something different. You know, in those games, there are a lot of times during the gameplay when you can look away and be mashing the attack button. When you look back, you're still fine. That wasn't really the case with Ninja Gaiden. It was always really hard. Like, you walked into a room and you're like, boy, I hope I have enough life. I hope I have enough items. I hope I'm just, like, ready, and I upgraded the right weapon, and I can get out of this room. In this one, it's basically just like, jump in, here are 30 guys, tap attack, tap block, and just get out of there.
It's just like endless, nameless, faceless henchmen kind of deal.
Exactly. And while, you know, you were always fighting kind of endless, nameless ninja henchmen, it was tough. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is just, it doesn't have that difficulty level. So I felt a little, as somebody who loved the other two entries in the series, I felt a little disconnect from this one. It's not bad in terms of an action game. It's just not what you're used to from Ninja Gaiden.
So as a fan of the series, are you seeing any kind of reaction from other fans? Do you think that this is something that people are other people enjoying the game? Or are you
for the
like
most
baseline?
Part,
yeah.
For the most part, I'm seeing that people are equally disappointed, or at least semi-disappointed. There are some people who are still really into it, and I think, you know, newcomers might be kind of into it. Well, they'd be kind of into it if it wasn't for the weirdness of the story. Mm-hmm. But the gameplay is much more in line with modern action games. So if you're new to the story, it might be okay to you, but it doesn't really feel any different than any other big budget action game.
Gotcha. So, Anthony, I feel bad that we keep bringing you on the show to kind of...
I just come on and it's just like, oh, here's a game that you've been playing for 20 years. What do you think of it? Smack. Oh, Twisted Metal. Smack. Ninja Gaiden. Slap. Next week you're going to have me on, you're going to be like, what do you think about Mario? And I'm just going to punch him in the face.
I know you do enjoy video games at some point in your life, so we'll get you on for a good review.
I enjoy them on a regular basis, yeah. Please do.
So what's coming up on New Challenger soon?
Oh, man, you know, next week is a slow release week. It's mostly Tiger Woods is the biggest thing we have coming out next week. So I'm going to dip down and cover some indies that have come out recently. Including Waveform, which is a really neat kind of math-based game that I'm enjoying. So,
very cool.
From ninjas to math.
It's a good transition.
It's a big jump.
It makes sense. All right, well, you can find more of Anthony's smiling face at youtube.com/newchallenger or, of course, on Twitter at acarboni is your username, of course.
That is true.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
All right, Brian, take it away.
It turns out that the most high-profile mobile gaming franchise has just dropped its most high-profile release to date this week. So, of course, we covered it in this week's AppDiction.
Look at him go. Senator Squirrel told reporters he plans on relaxing at home during the winter months. Now on to our top story. If you take a look in the sky tonight, you might see something new this evening. Pigs. Yes, pigs have entered our orbit and are threatening our very way of life. Are they dangerous? What should the government be doing about them? To answer these questions and more, we welcome popular internet personality Phil Plait, the Bad Astronomer. Welcome, Phil.
It's good to be here, Brian.
Pigs are floating in space. They're stealing eggs and just being a general pain in the rear end. What the hell's going on here?
I'm not sure what you're talking about, Brian.
You're the expert. It's not like before, when the pigs used to be on Earth. Then we could just fire a few birds at them and strategically take out their positions. Now they live in the sky, Phil, taunting us. Who's to blame?
Brian, I think you're talking about the new Angry Birds Space, the new mobile game.
Sure, we could point fingers. How are we going to get these buggers out of the heavens and bring them to justice? Physics are completely different now, Phil. Before, you could shoot your birds at an arc. Now they only shoot forward, and you have to use gravity wells to swing your shots into the fortified positions. Do you think President Obama needs to apologize for this happening on his watch?
I don't think the president has time to play Angry Birds.
Well, that says a lot. What about the rumors of new artillery? Many of the birds defending our freedom now have different colors. Have their abilities changed, or does this new environment simply render them useless?
Again, I'm pretty sure you're talking about the video game.
So you're saying the safety of our American eggs is a game?
I am saying it's the plot of a popular video game. I have it downloaded on my phone right now.
Are you in contact with the space-based opposition? Are you now, or have you ever been, a pig conspirator?
This is the sequel to Angry Birds that's available on iOS and Android and Mac and PC. If you love the original game, you're going to love this one even more. The addition of new physics adds a totally new layer to the gameplay. I have to admit, I'm addicted to it myself.
Addicted, huh? Addicted to the death of the vile pig menace?
Sure.
You're a true patriot.
Fine, whatever.
Coming up, it's a nutty sex scandal for the newly elected Senator Squirrel. We have all the details after the break.
So I did get my hands on the new Angry Birds, and I got to admit, it actually, they're playing this exactly right. Angry Birds, of course, mega popular franchise, and they're doing the right things for it. They're adding a novel gameplay mechanic that does make it interesting. It does give you an excuse to come back for it, and they give a superficial facelift to all the birds. They're all techno-roboted out. And I mean, I'm only a few levels into it, but it's going to be the same time suck that the original Angry Birds are. Have you played it yet?
I have not played the new one.
Are you going to play it?
I will probably play it.
It's worth doing
after that video.
Yeah, we should actually point out that Angry Birds Space is available for only 99¢. And we want to give a huge thanks to the Bad Astronomer, Phil Plait, for helping us out. Check him out at the Bad Astronomy blog at Discover.
He's the best. And don't worry, Senator Squirrel, there's plenty more where this came from. We're about to meet Bill. He makes props from video games like weapons and armor into real life things in the actual world. You can touch them with your very fingers. And we count down the top 5 best dressed characters in video game history. But before we do any of that, here's some vital information that might just change your life.
This episode of Game On is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible.com is the leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For listeners of Game On, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out their service. One audiobook you may consider downloading is Extra Lives, Why Video Games Matter, by Tom Bissell, and narrated also by Tom Bissell.
It may be years before anyone arrives at a true understanding of what games are, what they have done to popular entertainment, and how they have shaped the wider expectations of their many and increasingly divergent audiences.
To download this audiobook for free, or another one of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/gameon. That's audiblepodcast.com/gameon.
So our next guest is the mastermind behind Punish Props, a place where they create actual physical weapons from all your favorite games like Skyrim, from Mass Effect, and of course from StarCraft. Bill Doran, thank you so much for joining us, Bill.
Hello, Brian. It's good to be here.
Dude, how do you get started on this kind of thing?
Well, for me, it was my friends. My friends who are horrible and awesome at both at the same time. We decided to do costumes for conventions. We live in Seattle, so we went to PAX dressed as Team Fortress characters. After that, it was StarCraft. After that, it was Wolverine, and it was this endless succession. Before you know it, I'm going to Tap Plastics every weekend, going to Harbor Freight, buying new tools every other week.
So do you have a background in construction, or is this something that you totally just self-taught and you started from scratch?
A lot of it is self-taught. My traditional background is in 3D design and computer art. So I did have sort of a head start there.
Okay. And so walk us through. Show us some of the stuff that you got that brought for us here today.
So I've got some Mass Effect guns over here that I did. This is from Skyrim.
What was the name of these weapons here?
Oh, all right. This is the N7 Eagle pistol from Mass Effect 3.
Okay, and if you haven't seen it, if you're not watching the video version, if you're on audio, these things are freaking dead accurate, and they have an amazing heft to them. And each one of these you make, by hand? Or I guess we'll talk about how you actually make them. But what else we got here?
So this is Maroon's Razor from Skyrim.
Awesome. Yep. Now, the thing I love about this is that it actually feels sharp when you hold it. Like, I feel like I could stab a hobo or an orc with this thing. That's awesome. And, of course, the pylon from StarCraft.
That's right, from StarCraft 2. This actually lights up and off.
Dude, that is awesome. We should point out that you were kind enough to actually donate some of these to the show.
That's right.
I loved the little modifications that you made on these. Here, zoom in over here. If you look at the pylon from StarCraft, he actually put the twit bug on the pylon. The Maroon's Razor is supposed to be, that's supposed to be the Oblivion symbol, but instead you inverted it to make it a V for Veronica. And then this is my personal favorite. Instead of the N7 logo on one side, you put the BB star from Brian Crushwood. Freaking rad.
The pylon is also powering this part of the set.
So you get started with cosplay, and you decide you want to get started. Are you building them the same way you always did, or did you change your techniques over the years?
Well, my traditional process, which is an ever-evolving process, involves designing stuff in vector, just drawing it on the old computer, getting reference images from the games, if I can, or a Google image search.
Do you have to troll certain forums looking for leaks of news for upcoming titles?
Well, it depends. Google Internet Search or Image Search will usually find that. The Replica Prop Forums is a fantastic place to start if you want to look up techniques, and people will often post reference images that they've found there.
Okay, so when you're first getting started, because I know that there's certain techniques you use to mass produce them, and then there's other techniques that you use just to create the original prototype. Mm-hmm. Looking at these three guns here, for the life of me, until I picked one up, there's no way for me to tell which one of these would have been the original. But it turns out this one's the original, and the only way I could tell is that it's lighter than the other one.
Yep.
So where do you begin on that
All
process?
Right. So after I've designed it, I'll take and cut out pieces from materials like foam PVC, styrene. This is MDF wood. This right here is actually acrylic that's been laser cut, which is something that I will be doing more and more in the future because it's super fast. And then once I've created the original, like the one we have over here, this one's been finished, but the original will make a silicone mold out of it. And then I can pull
This is obviously, you painted this after the fact, but once you had made it, and we're looking at a time lapse right now of how you actually made Maroon's Razor here. So you're actually, when you say you're layering it, you use what, like a bandsaw to cut the plastic into individual slices that you glue all together?
Yep, that's one way you could do it. You could build it up out of foam or out of, let's say, clay if you wanted to. If you're going to make something out of a mold, the master isn't terribly important. Once you've made the mold, you can then do what I've done which is to cast the pieces out of plastic. And what I've got here is a polyurethane two-part resin plastic.
Okay, now you notice that obviously this is not something that you would cast all at once, just as one. I guess you could. I suppose there's certain technical limitations, and you'd probably have a substantial loss in quality for that. But you broke it down to four individual pieces. How do these all go together?
So these assemble. Imagine I'm a sniper. I got my suitcase. I pull my gun pieces out. And these all go together just like this. And I did it in pieces for a number of reasons. One is for ease of molding, because you get air bubbles and all kinds of complications sometimes.
Right.
But also, if I wanted to put electronics in this, I could cast this middle piece hollow, and I would have access to the middle bit. I could get into the trigger. It gives me more options. I could alter the top. This is actually based on the M5 Phalanx from Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
So if I were to chop this bit off here and put a different top on it, bam, I got a gun from a different game.
You know, I wonder if there's not a benefit to, by having all these pieces, you can look and see that, the new gun for this game is exactly the old gun with a different rifle attachment or whatever, and then you're just able to swap out that one part.
Sure.
So once you have this built, do you assemble it and then do all the painting, or do you paint it in order to get in certain cracks or whatever? And walk me through that.
You could paint it in pieces, but I put the whole thing together. I epoxy the pieces together, and I use, actually in the build process, I use a lot of Bondo. I Bondo the seams together wherever they are obtrusive, and then I do a lot of priming and a lot of sanding, and then a lot more priming, and then a lot more sanding.
So what are the techniques? Because I noticed, like, part of the thing that really makes this stand out is when you look at the aging effects that right. you put in there. You can tell that there's scuffs to make it look like the red paint has been pulled off on there, or that has seen some action. Is there? Did you learn this all by trial and error, or did you learn it by, is there some place people can go to learn those kind of brushstroke techniques?
Once again, Replica Prop Forms is a great place to start for that sort of thing. A lot of the weathering and painting technique I picked up from my friend Harrison at Vulpen Props. This one right here has not been weathered if we compare them, and this one has. And the only difference between these two is I've used black and brown and darker paints to fill in a lot of the seams. I've brushed it. Imagine that you've been using this to fight the Geth for years, and it's been tossed around, and it's got mud and dirt in it, and it's been banged up or hit against a holster thousands of times. So we've got the darker areas right here that's like the dirt, and then I go over it again with a lighter metallic paint to make it look like this red paint has chipped off.
Right.
And is worn into it.
Now, you mentioned the cosplay community. Do you find that it tends to be a more supportive community or a more competitive community?
There's a little from both columns. I know that when I'm going to make a costume or if I'm going to build a new prop, I want to do something new. I want to do something no one else has done before. Or I don't mind doing the same thing if I can do it much, much better.
Well, and I know you had mentioned that, of course, if you go to punishedprops.com, is that correct?
Right.
You can see examples of a bunch of – this is your costume of Hawk from Dragon Age right here. Looking pretty freaking badass. You also have stuff. I saw Wolverine on there. Mm-hmm. I saw, of course, the Mass Effect stuff in there. Now, you mentioned that it was your friend, actually, one of the props he created was used in the live action trailer.
Oh, yeah, my friend Harrison again. The live action trailer from Mass Effect 3, the rifle, that Valkyrie rifle.
Right.
My buddy Harrison did that.
That is awesome. It has to be so exhilarating to create these high-end, very visceral objects and get to see them actually recognized in a professional forum like that.
Yes. Someday, maybe maybe they'll contact me for the next installment of the game.
All right. So any advice for somebody getting started on this? And, in fact, you mentioned that you make available kits so that they can build their own. Did I hear that right?
Yeah, I do. I'm taking commissions right now. You can email me at punishprops@gmail.com. Things like this, which is a blank kit, I can sell these if the price is right.
Just send the pieces over?
Yep, send the pieces over. You can paint them yourselves. I'm building things from scratch. I've got a commission list 3 months deep, so if you're waiting for one of my commissions, I'm working
so
on it.
So if you're good enough and you got the coin, then maybe you too can hire Bill. Is
and,
basically what it
and
sounds
if
like.
If you can find him.
Yeah, exactly. Well, he's obviously at punishprops.com.
Yeah, I'm taking commissions and sure, yeah. Contact me.
Dude, that is fantastic. Thank you so much. And did I hear right? Are these actually going to join the set of
these
Game
three,
On?
Yes. These three right here, the ones that I have branded for you. This one's mine.
There you go.
I will keep this. But the you guys, well, that these hopefully will be a part of the Game On set
Dude,
forever.
That is absolutely unbelievable. Where can people see you next?
Okay, next. First of all, I'm on Twitter, at Chinbeard. You can go to Facebook.
That's Chinbeard, not Jim Beard.
Nope.
C-H-I-N.
Chinbeard.
Gotcha. Chinbeard.
And then facebook.com/punishprops. And if you're going to be at PAX East, I'm doing a panel on Sunday at 1:30 in the Manticore Theater.
So that's the big one. That's 750 seats. You need to pack that place.
So please come join us.
And when you go, shout Game On Rules and
yes,
interrupt his panel repeatedly.
Over and over again. Yes, please come join us. I'll be there with my friend Harrison from Vulpen Props, Matt Munson from the Replica Prop Forum, and Xander Brandt from Z Props.
Dude, fantastic. Thank you so very much. PunishProps.com. Bill Doran, that was amazing.
Thanks
all right,
for
Veronica,
me.
Take it away.
Just take all my money. just take all my money. So Dragon Con is in September. That's more than 3 months. I'm just saying.
I'm coming back
with
the props.
Let's work something out.
I'm going to walk right back with them. I'm going to put I can't even wait until after the show.
He's pretty much to the set right now.
There we go. Forget you, Nintendo Entertainment System. You've been replaced.
We got the new hotness.
You can just balance that right there. We'll just put that. Look at that. How much classier an operation do we already look like?
I would lick it, but who does stuff like that?
I will as soon as the show is
over.
Oh,
my God. Can you believe this?
Dude,
this
it looks so amazing. Are you kidding me? And it's like, it's the feel of it. It feels so visceral, too.
Let me get stabby.
Thank you,
Bill. We're so happy.
You're welcome.
So, all right, I got to rein it in a little bit.
No, you don't. This is the rest of the episode. I'm very excited.
Very excited about this. So all these props and weapons got us thinking, what are the best dressed video game characters in history? We asked you guys and came up with this week's Leet Sheet.
Initiate countdown.
It's not all about killing bad guys. Sometimes it's about looking good. Let's talk about the best-dressed characters.
Adam Jensen from Deus Ex. Sure, he's half-man, half-machine. His fashion contradictions are as mismatched as his body parts. And yet, this man on a mission seems to turn all the no-nos into yes-pleases. The key? Robot arms. Don't think you can hide them under that conservative coat of yours, Jenny. We know what lies beneath. They go with everything. A terrible goatee normally sported by an obviously high barista. On Jensen, I say give me a tall drip of Work It with some room for yum. Mirror shades that haven't been cool since Top Gun? I'll be your wingman any day. Crazy gadgets hanging off his face? Well, as long as they're attached to the broad shoulders that swing those big metal guns, it's all just icing on the cake.
Number 4, Kate Archer from The Operative, No One Lives Forever. When you spend your days offing Eurotrash henchmen, might as well look good while you're doing it. Kate rocks a swinging 60s London ensemble, mixing in colorful patterns with form-fitting dresses and jumpsuits to beat the band. Notice the strong oranges and yellow that scream, "I am woman, hear me roar." Also, give me the microfilm or I'll throw you off this bridge. Take one-third Bond girl, one-third Emma Peel, and one-third broad headband to hold together her impeccable brunette bob, shake well, and serve it to a tall tumbler of me wow.
John Marston from Red Dead Redemption. Saddle up and ride into the sunset with this rugged bad boy who knows how to adjust his look to the mood of the room. Dress up or dress down. This cowboy is ready to dress your corpse after blowing a giant hole through your chest. Riding through the sage thicket, it's a sleeveless number pulled together by his massive gun belt and a "Hey man, don't hassle me" beard. Transacting some business in town, he rolls down those sleeves, pops on a jaunty hat with a feather for good luck. Stepping out in the nightlife, toss on an overcoat and we're ready for a saloon-hopping good time. When it comes to rough-and-tumble understatement with old-world confidence, Johnny's aim is true.
Numero the dose, Naomi Hunter from Metal Gear. Paging Dr. Hot Pants. It's going to take more than a merciless covert foreign war to keep this field doctor from looking good. She takes an overcoat, matches it with a slightly above knee-high skirt and a pair of tasteful pumps, then tops it all off with a pulled-back ponytail and a hint of wind-blown bangs that stay sizzling in a sandstorm and drop fashion bombs on the battlefield. If you need 20 cc's of an antidote to the same old, same old, get a script from Dr. Hunter. And the number one best-dressed character? The spy from Team Fortress 2. Nothing says I want to dress to impress while robbing and or murdering you like a ski mask with a suit. The suit tells you, hey, let's sit down, have a drink, maybe a light game of gentlemen's billiards. Are you familiar with the rules for nine ball? Meanwhile, the ski mask says, put all your money in the bag or you never see your daughter again. The two swirl together in a high and low pressure system, creating a fashion storm raining bingos and yes, sir. We quote directly from the Redditor who suggested the spy, quote, a stylish two-piece suit with light vertical stripes and pockets filled with the classiest cigarettes money can buy. A nice white shirt with a tie to really put a dot in the eye and look. Truly a man who you can tell is from France. We say, oui, oui. Of course, we want to give a huge thanks to Valerno, Peralton, T2T2, Pressgrove, and Kent USMC for submitting to our Reddit. That's twitgameon.reddit.com. And if you want to help out with the Leet Sheet, and then you can shut your mouth when you complain if you think we're wrong, be sure to drop by on Monday nights and leave your suggestions because we ask right away. I thought, dude, the spy was a natural fit.
I thought it was great.
Chat room was about 2/3 in favor, 1/3 not. Yeah, I defy you to find anyone better dressed. That is the most dapper assassin I've ever seen.
They did mention, like, a lot of the ladies from Final Fantasy, from the series
they
in
got
general.
Boobs, I guess.
Well, no, they've got great outfits.
With the boobs, yeah.
Come on, whatever. It's... Anyway, now, let's find out what happens when this carnival winds down. Oh, yes, it is Shut Up and Play. And that is the Twitland Party produced and hosted by Glenn Rubenstein, who randomly happens to be standing in front of a camera with a mic right now. Glenn?
Funny thing. Tonight, Sunday, March 25th, oh my God, we are playing Team Fortress 2 once again. We're going to have a grudge match going on with NBA Jam. We're going to do a play date with Mario Party. Greg, the Shut Up and Play go-to guy here, and Victor, Twit Dynasty Victor, is celebrating his 21st birthday at midnight. Things might get a little crazy. If you want to know how to get in on TF2 with us, go to the chat room TwitLive3 on the Twit IRC server. And next Sunday, April 1st, well, we were going to do a funny game, but instead we're going dead serious with Counter-Strike Source. If you want to get in on that, send an email to landparty@twit.tv to RSVP and get all these server deets. That's right, I said deets for details. And we'll hit you back for next week, Sunday, April 1st, here on Shut Up and Play, the Twit Land Party.
And don't forget, if you are in the market for a new gaming laptop or PC, then look no further than our BFFs over at Doghouse Systems. They are the company that provided us with these kick-ass gaming machines that we use every single LAN party, and we absolutely love them. We're in love with them. We caressed them in the rain that one night.
Just stop. Nope.
And we just,
move on.
Got so close, and they're so warm.
Keep going.
When you're ready to level up, use code GAMEON at checkout, and they'll double your memory for free. Click on the banner ad on our Twit homepage to learn more about the double your memory promotion. You think they're okay with that?
You may have made them a little uncomfortable with that one.
Well, they made me uncomfortable with their hot, sassy systems.
We respect them. We just want to let the audience know that we respect them. So, it is time for Chad to read your feedback from tonight. So, what is the good word, Chad, my man?
So, it looks like first, with the poll... before we took the poll, it was a 26% difference for Veronica. Now,
meaning I was winning.
You clearly had the more favorable position going in,
right?
By 26 points.
But after, that has been reduced to just 6%.
What? I'm still winning.
Yes, there's a 20% gain. So here, let's actually just go ahead. Well, I was going to bring.
You know what your problem, Veronica, is? Is you always take the more popular position. So it's easier, like to explain what's unpopular. Then you could. Double.
I don't know how it changed.
It's just, well, because
maybe you just got more people who they actually watched the show. And
well, it could
I'm
be,
no, it's clearly not you.
Could be my
it's
argument.
Clearly not you. What else, Chad?
My
move
logic.
On.
Looks like Duran Solon says I didn't like the ending much of Super Mario 1. Can they change it, please?
Okay.
Yeah, seriously,
dude. And, but they already do, and we praise it when it's Mario with portals. We love changing our games. It's movies that take something away.
Okay, well, J.S. Smith, 87, says, to your point, Brian, changing the ending of Mass Effect 3 is like adding Hayden Christensen to The Return of the Jedi, and that's bad. So he's using your argument against him. Did I get the
question? I am glad that the voting is closed.
Right? So... OMG Eddie for the win. He's taking my OMG, by the way, at the beginning of his username.
No, I think he's had it longer than you. I've seen OMG Eddie for the win around here a lot.
I'm projecting. He says, if only they could make some sort of Mass Effect 4. So he's really excited about Mass Effect 4 and maybe...
I mean, I think that's the other thing, too, right. Is it's not
there's
the end of
there's
going to
be more
series.
In this universe, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, I can say that almost, you know, unequivocally, that there is going to be more to this story. I just don't think they
Who
should
would you like to play
this story?
In Mass Effect 4? Joker's story. Joker goes home,
yes,
watches online porn, eats Cheetos, and goes to sleep. Yeah,
that'd be awesome. Watches robot porn and eats Cheetos and goes to sleep.
I was hoping you didn't really hear any of that.
Definitely heard.
Okay, I have one final thing for you guys. Jeremy Lusk says, wow, at Bad Astronomer and at Twit Game On, Geek Synergy, hashtag grabber barf. So
yes, that was that Synergy. Thank you again to Phil. He was such, like, we came to him, we were like, listen, we'd like to do a skit where you, just, it's complete idiocy, and you're just aghast at it. He's like, sure, why not?
He's like, I'll do that. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, well, huge thanks, of course, to Anthony Carboni of New Challenger, Prop Master Bill Doran, and the Bad Astronomer Phil Plate. Next week, we're joined by Lizzie Cuevas of the Glowing Stars. We're going to have a live studio performance of the Glowing Stars and our amazing chiptune band, and, of course, Matt, her other bandmate as well. And we are very excited about it. It's going to be right here in the studio. I think it's the first time it's ever happened on Twitter.
We're getting all kinds of big. We got fancy props.
We got musicians.
Bands. This is huge. Tell all your friends. And make sure to give us 5-star reviews on iTunes.
Do that. We will see you guys next time.
Dad, add this in post.
Pew, 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 pew.
I will do.
Pew, pew, pew. Here.
Do you know what I had to do to get this blade? This was not easy to get this blade. That was a long quest line.
Oh, I was just like, you just had to ask Bill really nicely.
Yeah,
and he
was
just
like, Bill
was like, you didn't do anything. Bill got on a plane and came down to give it to you. You lazy, what? That's right.
You'll have to do to get that.
Bill's got it together.
Oh, this is so awesome.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
Okay,
it.
You ready for some
thing.
Funny stuff?
Funny times.
Yeah. Is this the Lydia one? What is this?
This is Sunday is Coming.
Oh, I haven't seen this. Oh, 1 week.
She's very excited.
This is the point where I start to wait for payoff.
No, you'll get there. It'll get there.
All right. I'm trusting you.
It'll start right now. The payoff is coming.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's pretty good. Both the dragon cupcakes and the Daenerys. Stormborn. She's Stormborn or Targaryen?
She's not Stormborn.
Oh!
The worst Betty Draper I've ever seen. Next Sunday.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow, very well played.
Right at the end just cracks me up. She is so me, by the way. At the end, there's more.
Khaleesi!
It's next Sunday.
So disappointed!